All right, so I'm here with my brothers and sisters, and I want to talk about, I'm going to do a teaching today on, it's titled, How's Your Zeal? How is your zeal? Hopefully I can get through this. With my voice, I've had some sinus issues with my voice. Hopefully this will hold up. I want to talk about the topic of zeal, and of course, we're all believers here, and if you're listening and you're a seeker, you need to repent and obey the gospel. Check it out at don'tperish.com. But we're aiming at the saints here. So we're going to talk about zeal in the saints. And the reason I want to make that note is because there's a lot of different ways you could have zeal in life. And I'll talk about how I was zealous in the wrong areas in my life as we go on here. Before we start talking about zeal, one important note I want to make right up at the front is that we have to be careful because this is a characteristic of a saint. A direct characteristic of a saint. And it is a characteristic that you can see. Sometimes it's inside and hidden. And then sometimes it's outward and you can see it. And we got to be careful not to compare each other to each other. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So let's not use this as a measuring stick of, oh, this saint has this zeal, this saint has this zeal. I think each saint has to go to the Word of God and in prayer and seek the Lord and maybe seek counsel from brothers or sisters and then concern themselves with their own zeal and not be comparing to each other. So I just wanted to put that note in there. Concerning zeal, the topic of zeal. Now, it can be for other things like I talked about. I know men that are zealous for work. I know people that are zealous for worldly hobbies. I know people that are zealous for entertainment in the world, and I used to be all of those things. But again, we're focusing for this teaching on spiritual, biblical zeal in the life of a saint. And I brought up not comparing because we know that older saints, more experienced saints, older in the faith, they're going to have different faith lives. They're going to have a different, people are going to see them differently. They might be more perfect, complete, mature, not perfect, but more complete, mature, more on the path of sanctification than, say, a new saint. That doesn't mean that new saint can't have zeal. And so we just have to measure all these things. But I do believe it's true that everyone born of God by the gospel, the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, belief and faith in that, repentance and turning from all sin and being born from above, and walking in holiness and obedience and enduring to the end. That's the gospel. There's a whole bunch of articles that explain all of those at don'tperish.com. Look up the gospel tab. Anybody that's born of that gospel, they will have zeal. It might be a little. It might be medium. Maybe some new believers have a lot. It all depends. But everyone should have a zeal, and we'll talk about what that zeal is as we go. And I think there's two aspects to zeal, and we'll kind of talk about it. I think the two aspects of zeal to me, and test me on this, is I think it's kind of like faith and works, or fruit and works and faith and works. There's a spiritual side to it, and then there's an actual physical outward expression to it. It's kind of like a man loving a woman. He loves her, and then he asks for her hand. He marries her. There's like two aspects to that. And so I think that's what zeal is. And so we want to talk about that, and we want to divide that rightly. And zeal is something that we should have in our daily life to glorify God as well as encourage our brethren and be a witness to those around us. So we'll get to what zeal is here as we go to Scripture. How about a Scripture from the Old Testament first? Numbers 25:11. "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy." So that's an example of being zealous or zeal right there. And in the Old Testament, the word zeal or zealous is used about 12 times. And in that particular verse, that word in Hebrew is kona, and I'll just read the definition for you. It means jealous or envious, envy, to provoke, to be envious of, to be jealous, to be excited, jealous or anger, to provoke to jealousy, to cause jealousy. So that one's got kind of a connotation to it, just like in the context of the Scripture verse. And again, it's used about 12 times in the Old Testament in various places. So I like to think of zeal and testimony as we go through this, the Old Testament, New Testament. I like to think of zeal as it's a strong, fervent emotion. It's clearly from the Spirit of God. And then it breaks out also in action. It's a lot like faith and works. You have faith and then you work for the Lord. You have deeds, you have works that prove that you're of Him. And I believe it's towards an object, and it ends up being an activity that we care about because of this object that we have this spirit, this emotion, this love for, and it comes out in our actions and our ways towards it. So I think it's kind of a two-pronged thing that we see, and I think we'll see an example of Christ showing us the two-pronged action of zeal in a minute here when we get to some more scripture. So for this teaching, as I said, it's aimed towards the gospel of God and His saints and the work of the ministry. I don't want to talk about zeal for people that are doing a lot of other things outside of the gospel. That's really not important to us, other than we have to deal with people in the streets that are zealous. Here you go. People can be zealous for false religion, churchianity. We meet a lot of Mormons that are zealous for their faith. We meet a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses that are zealous for their faith. Well, I'm not really talking about those. I'm talking about the biblical faith here. More verses from the Old Testament. 2 Samuel 21:2. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. So another example of zeal. 2 Kings 10:16. And he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. So we see that word coming up in the Old Testament. 2 Kings 19:31. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. And this next one from Psalms. Now this one's kind of a famous one. And then here, Psalm 69:9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. So that's a pretty famous one related to Christ. We'll get back to that when we get into the New Testament. We'll talk about that a bit. I think that's a good example of what our Savior did to show us how zeal is both something that comes from inside you by the Spirit, and then it comes out as an action as well. Isaiah 59:17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and I like this, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. I like that. That one means a lot to me because it talks about, Christ talked about the Pharisees, and he said, you have no cloak for your sin. And here he's talking about zeal, or Isaiah's talking about zeal as a cloak. Isaiah 63:15. Look down from heaven, and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of the glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, and sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me, are they restrained? So God has a zeal. He showed us a zeal and a pattern that we can follow in Scripture, because we're supposed to imitate God, Christ. We're supposed to imitate Paul. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us to. Ezekiel 5:13. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted, and they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have accomplished my fury in them. So there you go. You have something that the Lord wants to carry out in His word, and then it's carried out by an action. So that kind of backs up what I've been saying. And that was the same word, zeal, same word as those other words with the same meaning, zeal in the Old Testament. So let's move into the New Testament, probably more pertinent for us today. It's used about 14 times in the New Testament. And here is that verse that's related to the Psalms verse I read you. I think it was, what, Psalm 69:9. Here's the verse from the New Testament, John 2:17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. So that psalm is linked to, let me give you the context here. Let me read you 2 John, John 2, 14 through 16. and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, that's like a whip, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money changers' money, or poured out the changers' money, overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. So that psalm and then John 2 is related to Jesus getting zealous because of them making merchandise in the Father's house. And this showed that Christ had a great spiritual zeal inside for the things of God. And what did it do? It poured out in a physical action. Everyone could see this one. And he used a whip and drove out both men and animals and turned over tables. I just imagine that scene in my mind, seeing our Savior do that. Great spiritual zeal and great physical zeal as well. And that word in that verse in John 2, the word is zealous. We have a brother named Zealous, and the reason our brother is named Zealous is he is full of zeal both in faith and in outward action. So it kind of backs up what I'm talking about here. If you just have zeal on the inside and not on the outside, you're going to be in trouble. If you have zeal on the outside and it's not based on love and spirit and truth and wisdom, you're also going to be in trouble. You're probably going to get yourself into all kinds of trouble. So that's, a brother mentioned that today, that zeal has to have love and it has to have truth and it has to have wisdom with it. But that word zealous, ready? Let's read this. I think this is kind of telling. And it's pretty much all through the New Testament, the same word with some variation, but usually always pretty close to the same. It means, ready? And a little bit different than the Old Testament. Excitement of mind, fervor of spirit, zeal, embracing, pursuing, defending anything, zeal in behalf of, for a person or a thing, or fierceness of indignation, punitive zeal, envious, contentious, rivalry, jealousy. So think about that, what Christ was feeling on the inside as being God himself. And for anger over his father's house, and then it poured out in his physical wrath or zeal. Well, he did kind of give wrath, flipping over tables and chasing them out. It was a type of wrath, but in his zeal, he ran them out. So again, this is like a spiritual zeal that pours out into physical actions, just like we saw our master in what is called righteous anger. Anger is not always wrong. As long as it's righteous and godly, it's not wrong. And that can be done, the zeal can be poured out in preaching, rebuking, exhorting, edifying, teaching, fellowship. We say washing feet. We don't practice ritual foot washing. None of us need our feet washed. We all have shoes and socks and we don't walk on muddy roads. We wash feet by helping brothers and sisters with needed things in their life. We'll change a tire. We would feed someone that's hungry. We'll meet needs if it's a real true need. We're always there to edify each other. So that's how we wash each other's feet today. Ritual foot washing is just a vain practice that many people like the Anabaptists do, but it's not biblical today in any way. They miss the whole point of it. They don't see the spirit versus the letter. They're focused on the letter. So zeal can be an outward thing, and it comes from the inside, all right? It's an inside quality of the spirit that is given to you. And the very actions of a saint driven by the spirit is what brings forth zeal. So I think it's an inside to outside thing. Paul, Brother Paul, we'll go to the New Testament. Brother Paul was zealous for the Lord when he was in Torah. Acts 22:3. For I am verily a man, which I am a Jew, born in Tarshish, in a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, that was like the high priest or one of the highest men in that area of teaching, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are to this day. So Paul was zealous for Torah, but it took him to the point where he had it wrongly because he started persecuting and partaking in murdering of Christians after Christ had come. So those are people that can be zealous for the wrong reasons, like we were talking about, like the unbelieving Jews here. Romans 10:1-3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establishing their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Basically, he's saying they rejected Christ. Christ is our perfect righteousness. So they rejected him and continued in Torah for their own righteousness when God had created a new and better covenant. Or how about Paul here in this chapter where he talks about zeal here? Galatians 1:13-14. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' region, how that beyond measure I persecuted the ecclesia of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. So Paul had a wrong zealousness in that area, persecuting and killing Christians, but it was a zeal, like I talked about. There can be zeal that is not godly and wrongly placed. And that is definitely a truth, that zeal, let's think about this. Zeal can be for good and evil. It can be for sin or for righteousness. And zeal is also a great way that we can motivate or stir others in the faith. So we can use it for sin, we can use it for the flesh, or we can use it to glorify God and motivate others. 2 Corinthians 9:2. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them at Macedonia, that Achaia was already a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So that was a good example of zeal there. And there are many varied reasons that we can be zealous for. That's what I'm trying to portray here. And then we'll talk about zeal more in the life of a true saint. Galatians 1:14. And I profited the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. I think I just read 14 above there as well. So Paul was zealous for the traditions of his fathers, but praise God, in Acts 9, he met Christ on the road and he became a new creation. Philippians 3:6, Paul says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. So Paul, once again, talking about how his zeal was persecuting the church. Here's a man that Paul kind of praises. Let's see. Paul noted this man, and this man had zeal for God and the saints. Colossians 4:12-13. Epaphras, who is of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. Now, remember that it says he labored and he had zeal. We'll go back to that in a minute when I talk about different aspects of what zeal can look like. So also I want to note here, we can talk about that it's very important that a saint be zealous for good works. These are the saints of God born of the gospel. And I don't think there's a better verse than Titus 2:13-15. For looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So I look at that, and that's real close to a commandment. Christ did this to procure a people, purify a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That is the desire of God, that we be zealous of good works. So that's what I was talking about. You have a zeal. It clearly comes from the Spirit of God, and then it breaks forth into good works that are done in truth and love and wisdom according to the gifts of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, go read 5:22-24, go read that area where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Also, Galatians 5:9, goodness, truth, and righteousness. Zeal is going to show forth in those things. And then our Savior says this in Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So there you go. You can be zealous and move towards repentance. So you can be zealous in good works, or you could be zealous in leaving your bad works and repenting to get right before God. And I want to talk about real quick here. I mentioned some other words that we could equate to zeal. Test me here. I think zeal stands alone as what it is, and the Bible makes it clear. It gives us a lot of examples. But how about other ways that we can have zeal and other words in the Bible to talk about it? How about like the word strive? How about the word diligent? How about the word steadfast? How about the word earnest? Or how about the word contend? Now, I know all those words, if you look up the Greek, they mean something different than zeal. But I think zeal leads to these things as well. Luke 13, 24. Strive. That means fight, by the way, saints. Jesus said, strive, fight, to enter into the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I say you need zeal to fight to enter through the straight, narrow gate. And then, of course, Jude only has one chapter. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. I mentioned one brother that I know that is named Zelos. I know other brothers that are earnest to contend for the faith. I think that takes zeal. So is my brother named Zealous. He does that too. So I think that zeal comes out in these things. And earlier I mentioned the word labor. Paul said this man was laboring and he was zealous. How about Hebrews 4:11? Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So I think that there's other words that are equated to zeal. I've given you a bunch of scriptures on what the Bible talks about, Old Testament, New Testament, what zeal looks like. And again, I think we have to realize that zeal and zealous ways, we got to watch out. They can be towards sin. They could be towards wrong judgment. They can lead you in a way of ungodliness. If you're not careful, be careful. You think you're something and you could fall, so be careful. And all of that has to be rooted out in God's people. We can't have that in God's holy saint. Saints, we don't want to be these people right here. 2 Thessalonians 2:12 and then 14:15. That they might all be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what I did. Before I was in Christ, I used zeal to go have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the wrong kind of zeal. 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, that takes zeal, and hold to the traditions, that takes zeal, which have been taught, whether by our word or our epistle. So I don't want to be that. I know I was a wicked, worldly, carnal man, and I used zeal in all the wrong ways. But we saints today, made new by the gospel that I preach to you, we are called and we're made for good works, Ephesians 2:10. And Jesus said in John 15 that we must bear much good fruit in him. So talking about zeal, I want to ask my brothers and sisters or anybody listening that's a brother and sister, following after Christ by the gospel, do we want to be known as men or women that have zeal for God? A little bit of zeal, medium zeal, great zeal. And do we want to have it just inside of us? Or do we want to have the kind of visible zeal that people see us? Our good works unto God. Our master said, ready? Let your good works be seen by men so it may glorify your Father in heaven. It takes zeal to have good works in this wicked world, whether it's street preaching, holding gospel signs, witnessing, not living like the world. It takes zeal to do that. And that zeal from the inside that comes out in your works, it glorifies our Father in heaven. So how much of that do we want to have in our life? It's really a good test that we should ask ourselves. The Bible says this. Some people have asked me, well, why do you strive to have so much zeal in your life? And they'll ask my wife that too. And we always tell people that we've come from such a wicked life that God didn't kill us, and we're so grateful that he spared us. This is kind of a verse that we really cling to a lot. Luke 7:47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So if you've been forgiven of a lot, like Sister Amin, my wife and I have, you have a great love, and I think that does something to have more zeal. And maybe, it's just a possibility, that if we were to focus and we just partook of the Lord's Supper together as a fellowship. If we were to focus on what Christ has really done for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God. And if we remember what he's cleansed us of and what he's done for us and how he's long suffered with us, even as we're saints and he doesn't kill us and destroy us and damn us, maybe we would have more zeal because we've been forgiven much. So that's just something to ponder. If we would focus on what Christ did, that's why we try to take the Lord's Supper more often, so we can focus on what Christ has done for us and purify ourselves, examine ourselves. And then I think that will, in time, create more zeal for people. So if the answer to that question is, do you want more zeal? If it's yes, and it should be for the Lord, I think it's time that everybody would take that time and examine themselves. One of my first verses I learned as a new believer, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. So it's important to examine ourselves. And let's look at ourselves and ask, what type of zeal do I have? Is it inner zeal that doesn't show enough outward? Is it really not enough inner zeal at all that doesn't produce the outward zeal? And then ask yourself what you can do about that and how you could promote that in your life, whether you're a newer believer, middle experienced believer, older believer. Everybody has to test themselves. And maybe it's a James 4 situation for any of us. James 4:2-3. Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. So yeah, we got to make sure we ask for the right reasons to have zeal. We don't want to have zeal to go and work, make more money. We want to have zeal to labor for the Lord, for his kingdom. Making money is not sinful, but if you get swept up in making money and not the kingdom, I think you're headed in the wrong direction. As long as you're making the money you need to support yourself, would be my point there. So the other point you could ask yourself is, have you gone to God in prayer about it, asked about it? Have you asked brethren to help you? How can I grow in this? How did you get your zeal? Where did you come from? And then go to prayer, go to study, and then ask brothers and sisters for accountability on trying to grow your zeal. I think the real key is going before God. He's going to give it to you by the Spirit, and then others can help propagate it and help you walk it out. So zeal, if we think about it, could be in a person and you can't see it. Now people say to me, oh, that's impossible. Your zeal should overflow. Not really. First of all, what if somebody's a prayer warrior? And what if the Lord says, go in your closet and pray? And I mean, they're praying 10 times more than the average saint. Man, they're a zealous prayer warrior. You can't see it. So people can have zeal and it may not be shown to everyone. And one area is like that, prayer, where we do that in secret, or giving. The Lord says, give in secret. Someone could be zealous about giving and they don't tell people. They're not out there ringing the bell and blowing the horn every time they give. And it could be somebody, maybe you guys know somebody like this, who has outward zeal. They talk about the Lord a lot and they're eagerly doing much in ministry, all right? And they're going here, they're going there. But that doesn't necessarily mean that someone who isn't doing that doesn't have zeal, right? So zeal, I really want to make this point. Zeal can be, it's not a total outward trait. It's something that comes from within. A person who's more quiet and says less can certainly have zeal. There's no doubt about it. And then a person that's really outgoing and speaks a lot, yep, people more easily see their zeal and their works. But I think this is a key point. I'm getting close to the end of my teaching here. Zeal is not something that we should, and test me here, test me, brothers. Zeal is not something that we should note by personality. I think that's a real danger. Somebody who is real talkative and real outgoing, somebody will go, wow, they got all kinds of zeal. And then you got a more quiet saint that isn't like that, and they go, wow, he don't think he has any zeal. But the guy that talks a lot goes out and hands out 50 gospel cards. The quiet saint goes out and hands out 50 gospel cards. And he may say less, but he may say important things. And the guy talking may say more because he's feel led to say more. So I think we have to be careful that we don't equate zeal to personality. There's some places where it can touch, but I don't think we should judge each other, or we certainly shouldn't compare each other in that way. So the other point I want to make, really important, let's not confuse zeal with the inner calm and peace we get from the Holy Spirit, kara in the Greek. All right. We got to be careful that we, you know, people say, oh, well, if you've got the joy of the Lord, you should be just busting out in zeal and happy and laughing all the time. And it's like, I don't see Jesus that way. I don't see Paul that way. I think they had inner calm and I think they had zeal. So I think we have to be careful again, connecting those two things, because I think they're kind of separate. They can be conjoined in places, but I also think they're separate. So watch out for personality judgments. Watch out for, saying that someone doesn't have zeal if they don't have joy, or don't have joy, don't have zeal, tying those together. I think zeal, when I study this out, zeal is like the, and when we're talking about spiritual zeal, it's an inward drive that is seen by your outside works, is what I think that really is. And it's all tied to the fruit unto the Lord. And everyone should have this. Everyone should have much fruit in the Lord. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, is that everybody? Yeah. And I in him, is that all saints? Yeah. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So that word fruit here, it means an effort or deed. So I believe the inward zeal creates fruit that's an outside effort and deed. Every saint, no matter who they are, they're quiet, they're more reserved, they're new, they're older, they're outgoing, everyone should have workings and working towards much fruit in their life. I want to be clear there. But some people that aren't as outgoing or isn't as visible, some people can say, oh, he doesn't seem like he has zeal, and that's not necessarily true. So think about that. Your fruit in your life is your effort and your deeds that is working through the Spirit. And Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. So we need him. You need him for zeal. You need him for everything. So I guess it's just a matter of asking ourselves, I'll ask myself, and you can ask yourself, is my life rich with both private zeal, which would be, ready? Here's one for you. What do you do when you're alone? How's your zeal for the Lord when you're all alone and nobody sees you? What are you doing? It's a good question, because that's something nobody can see, but the Lord sees your zeal. And then I think we need to balance that with then what we do also outwardly when we're in the world, we're with brothers and sisters. Maybe we have a roommate, we have a husband, we have a wife. And I think you need to balance that out and think about what is the zeal in your life. It comes from within. Then you have this private life with the Lord, prayer life, and when you're alone. And then you have this, you know, study life. And then you have zeal when you're with the brethren, or your life with the brethren, and you bring a certain amount of zeal to that. And then we go forth and we do ministry. You bring your zeal to work with you, whether you're witnessing or people just see your demeanor. If we're unhappy all the time and complaining, or if we're mean to people, that's not evidence of a good zeal. But if they see us as having joy and peace and we're willing to share that with people, that is showing forth zeal of God. So just a bunch of things for us to think about. And I think the last thought I want to cover here on zeal, what is the outcome of godly zeal? So we kind of defined what it is in Scripture, not to judge it by personality. We need to be graceful for people that are new in the faith. We got to make sure that we're doing all this rightly. Jesus said, judge rightly. So when we judge ourselves for zeal and we judge a brother for zeal, we got to make sure we're judging rightly, because we might not know what we don't see. And then we might also kind of break a bent reed like I talk about. We don't want to do that with somebody. So when it talks about zeal, what are some of the outcomes? What are some of the good outcomes that we can have if we want more zeal in our life? I just thought of a few. There's a whole bunch of more we could talk about if you want. God in Christ is glorified by our zeal, whether private or public. Brethren are more edified and strengthened. That would be more by the public zeal you have, if we can see it. Our daily walk is strengthened. That's going to happen. If you have zeal in your private life, zeal with your brethren, zeal in your public life, your walk is going to be strengthened. I believe the gospel's going to go out more, and more souls are going to be affected, because your zeal is going to cause you to do what Christ called us to do. Preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey everything. I think our faith is going to be stronger in Christ in general, because it's a command that we have good works and full of zeal. And then I think our witness to the world, our brethren, everybody around us is going to be much better because of our zeal. So God's called us to this zeal. I think it's a protection. That one, I think it was that verse in Isaiah, it starts talking about kind of like the armor that we can put on. Zeal is like that. It can help you. There's a worldly saying that is really true. The best defense is a good offense. So when you go on the streets to do ministry, preparing yourself offensively is oftentimes the best thing to do defensively. A good example of that is if you think you're going to run into a Mormon, be prepared on how you'd witness to a Mormon. Now you've got a good offense. If he comes at you first and you don't know what to say, now you have no defense. And zeal can get you prepared for that. Studying for these things, it'll get you ready for ministry. Hey, I'm in an area where there's lots of Roman Catholics. Hey, I run into Muslims. A brother up in Canada runs into all different kinds of faiths. We better know about Hindus and Buddhists up here. We run into them. Zeal can cause you to have be prepared for that. And then I think our witness will be more abundant. So that's pretty much what I have on the topic of zeal. I think there's awesome reasons for us saints to glorify God. It's a command to gain zeal, continue in our zeal, help hold each other's arms up for more zeal. And I think if we ponder the topic of zeal, what it is biblically, where we're at in it, what it looks like, and then take stock of ourselves, I think that we will be better, holy, godly vessels unto our Lord for his service. And that's really our call. Serve him, love the brethren, preach the gospel to the world. And I think having zeal is going to help us do all those things. So I'm going to leave it right there. We're probably going to have an audio and maybe talk about this a little bit afterwards. So that'll be up at the Ecclesia gathering area, this audio on zeal, and then a discussion about it. So thanks for listening in, and may God be praised.